How to generate leads today, especially when many things are changing fast. It's not the same experience that we had for many years because of AI search, because of new things that appeal every single day. Updating is going crazy every single day. I'm so excited to discuss a lot more with RJ Schubert. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, big pleasure. You know, I counted how many times you spoke on this podcast. It's six times. Wow. Hey, it's crazy. I mean, like you joined six time club, you know, to spoke on my podcast. It's a big pleasure. I always welcome you because I know about your experience background. Basically, I can become your customer if you can provide me results with paid marketing as well, because I'm looking for leads. I'm looking for the way how to sell my SaaS product. But I think it will bring value to many others. We have new listeners. RJ, before we start, just tell me about your experience, background, and anything that can help our listeners to learn more about you.
Hey, what's up, everybody? So for those that don't know, I run a small marketing agency in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, called HPT Digital. We focus on lead gen using online advertising. So like, we're the kings at Google Ads, Meta Ads, and LinkedIn Ads. That's kind of where we play. And then this past year, we've really been getting in with high level and doing nurturing and doing like funnels for our clients. So that's just kind of like bringing the business like full circle.
Nice. Yeah, it's very important to pay attention to lead generation, to get real sales, because I see when marketers chase volume, some keywords in the top funnel, it doesn't bring sales. It's useless, especially today when we have AI search. AI search can reply to many questions, ChatGPT, Perplexity, Google AI mod, Google AI review. It's useless today. You need to pay attention to the bottom funnel where actually you can get the sales. RJ, let's talk about creating the right strategy for B2B. It's important for me to know. I have some audience who have similar products that I have. So let us know where to start. I mean, like, okay, if you have SaaS product, great product, unique, different from others that we have on the market, where to start? What to do first?
The SaaS product is great, but really, who is your target audience? You know, what do they need? And how can we like get them in the door? How can we get them interested, which is the offer? So let me just throw it back to you a little bit. So like, have you seen any particular offers that your audience has like responded to for your product?
I think what I can estimate by now, because in the beginning when we didn't have data, I thought that my target audience can be consists from SEO experts. But I spoke with many SEO experts, big names, and all of them have workflow. All of them have tools that work for them. It's tough to convince them to use new tools. But when I show, for example, my product to customers who are looking for SEO services, all of them say, wow, it's a great tool. Wow, so I can use everything inside the platform. I don't need third-party tools. I can create content. I can analyze my website. I don't need many other tools because it's user-friendly, very simple, and it works. It provides great results with our strong site. So in the beginning, it's really tough to choose the right audience because I mistakenly choose SEO experts, but during the process, I found no. Our target audience consists of people who are looking for this automation. For example, if you compare the target audience who can use Wix and WordPress, people who uses Wix, I mean, like, they don't want to hire developers, designers to pay for hosting because they're looking for the entire automation. Probably they can't create great content with Wix that WordPress can do with this open code, but for them, they don't need this great content, or probably they're looking for different goals to convert their businesses. So I think like it depends, but I think we have the same audience. People who are looking for SEO services, but today want to save money with copywriting, want to save money with the process, want to save money with many tools. So they are.
I see like three main audiences. Really, you have the business owner who wants, you know, more people to find their website and their product and service. You have people that work in the marketing department who are in there every day optimizing for the business. And then you have you know, the third one just escaped me for a second. It'll come back. But it's really, I think, trying to understand those audiences and where they might live. And I think they could live in a variety of places, really.
That, of course.
You know, you said, you know, Meta's of interest. I think Google Ads and then LinkedIn for the B2B audience. But essentially, you're marketing to individuals, to people. And what do they respond to? They respond to offers. They respond to something that is written for them. And they respond to essentially what this product is going to do for them. So I think you got to get them to want to try it, to make it really desirable. And you're going to have to try many different strategies. Unfortunately, for those out there who have tried ads before, you know not everything is going to be successful. You're going to have to try many different audiences, many different offers, maybe a specific landing page that isn't overwhelming, that just speaks to one core offer that can really intrigue people to get them to want to, you know, reach out.
Yeah. Once I spoke with a client who lost $500,000 in paid ads and got zero leads back. So 500, it's like $500,000, you know, yeah, crazy money. But can you tell how to avoid such mistakes? I mean, like, if you don't know the audience, probably you need to spend some time just in order to test, but not 500.
I'll go into channel specific at the moment. So let's just talk Google Ads. So the rule of thumb is, ideally, we're talking perfect world. Let's try to get at minimum 10 people clicking to go to your website a day. And then you have to start figuring out what that cost per click is on average. So if the average cost per click is $20 and you want to get 10 people to your site, you know, that average daily budget's got to be what, $200. All right. $200 over 30 days is $6,000. That's a lot of money for people, but they need to understand you have to have that volume hitting that website to get one conversion at 10%. Like, hopefully, you know, you're converting at 10%, and that could be, you know, on the higher side depending on your industry. So really depends on how many people we got to get to your site and what that conversion rate is once they hit that landing page.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I listened to audio podcast with Gary Vaynerchuk, and he said that, and basically I read the book, the last book from him, about how to create paid marketing campaigns by learning organic reach. So basically what his agency can do, basically they put some video content on social media. And if, let's imagine they put like 5 videos. If one video can get a lot more views, they use this video for paid marketing. Because he told that, like, it's very important to bring something creative. If you bring just boring message, nobody cares about you. But if this video can provide some results with organic reach, it can work with paid marketing. What do you think about this approach?
I like that approach. That approach can take time though, right? Anytime you post organic, you have to maybe sit and wait for the results.
Of course.
Whereas I may recommend, hey, if you want that learning and the results like faster, why not put some money in those paid videos, right? And like a video views campaign where that's the goal is to like get that video in front of people and get people to watch it. If you want to promote 5 of those videos, you're going to see the cream of the crop rise faster. And then you could take that video and put a new campaign around that or new, maybe just more advertising dollars. Like that company that spent $500 and didn't get any leads. Like you can't scale so fast, right? You just got to go like incrementally. How do we find a campaign that's going to work? Like you don't spend your entire budget right away because you have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, of course. What do you think about new AI search that we have today? I read the news that ChatGPT is going to put paid ads inside ChatGPT. And what I like in this company, they charge for subscriptions. They're going to put paid ads and they're going to bring direct sales. So basically, you don't need to leave the chat to buy some stuff. So they want to monetize in all places, you know? Go ahead.
It's like, you know, the Hulus of the world or the Primes where like you pay that membership, but you're still seeing ads. It's like, I think part of the game. And what do I like? I like AI search. Like if I want a quick answer And I get that AI overview where I don't have to dig through all these links to find my answer. It can be great. I still think there's an opportunity for paid ads because Google's always going to want to earn their money, right? They're always going to want to show you, regardless of the AI, you know, people are still going to scroll and they're still going to see sponsored results. So there's a time and a place for both.
Yeah. And did Google put paid ads inside this AI overview or AI mod or not?
I haven't seen it yet.
I saw some testing that Google is going to do it.
They're always testing it, even with like small, small accounts. And then they may roll it out to a larger audience, but I haven't personally seen it.
Yeah. I don't remember where I saw this. I didn't see myself, but I saw some marketers code this inside paid ads. Yeah, we'll see. But I think Google will find a way. Google will find because, I mean, like if AI mod in AI overview today, like responsible for 30% of all keywords, Google will never lose all this money. I mean, like to show just AI replies without getting any revenue from that. So yeah,
Google. I would love to see what ads could look like in, you know, OpenAI. Personally, you know, from a search perspective. But also, like, how do you know the information you're going to get is going, it might be tainted, right? If you're getting an advertiser spending money to promote their name, their product, their service, you know, they're going to be pushing that, right? So I think it loses a bit of its
I use ChatGPT for a long time just to compare different products. And I use this tool to buy. I use this not to buy from ChatGPT, but to find the product that I need. So if I have no idea about specific product, but I need to figure out, I ask ChatGPT, please compare products, provide benefits. And I use this insights and then I can choose which product I want to buy. But it's organic. It's organic, but if I can see sponsor ads, it loses some trust in my point of view. I don't know.
It's influenced a little bit from outside perspectives.
Yeah, but what I found, Google is good to show this sponsor ads. I mean, like it's tough to recognize it's sponsor or organic. Even for me, I it takes some time, you know, to recognize this small mark. Can you tell? In your perspective, in 2026, I often get this question. How do you see Facebook is going to be? I mean, like Mark Zuckerberg said that Facebook is going to create direct sales. So basically when product owners can open Facebook, type what kind of customers they want to get, and Facebook will provide the rest, everything. Without marketers to steal the job from you, from me, from others. What do you think? Is it possible today or not?
No, there's no way. I don't think so. Maybe one day. Who knows, right? But I still think you can't just upload a few assets and then they're magically going to deliver like sales. I just think there's a lot of steps in between that. Make sure the pixel's right, making sure the tracking's right, making sure you're tracking the right conversion action. There's a lot of considerations, right? And you mentioned, you know, how do we find that right audience? And you really have to test that. I think testing in the ad group area is like the way to go. And that third audience that I couldn't think about was like lookalike audiences. So like, hey, if you have people that are currently using that Unmiss SEO tool and you have their name, email, even location, you can run that as a lookalike audience and perhaps go after that audience. And that might be the way to go.
I have all emails who registered in our tool, but I don't know their locations. That was a gap in my
name and an email and they'll try to match it. I've seen the match rate be anywhere from 50-70%, depending on the information you have. But that could be something to try.
We can try this as well. But I think, you know, I mean, like when we started this product, we decided to reach out to many people. So someone who registered, I'm not sure, to be honest, they are our target audience because we started with people who tried, but they didn't buy. Probably we can get them back, but probably they are not our target audience. So it depends as usual. Okay, RJ, let's talk about marketing, even content creation. For example, I remember when ChatGPT was released, and I use AI before ChatGPT But after ChatGPT, I started to use more. And in 2022, 2023, many people say, no, it generates useless content, low quality, nothing special. Google can punish for that. Today, I can see really different picture because some data can show that AI-generated content ranks much higher than human-written content, because, honestly, humans can write some useless as well. It's not only ChatGPT to hallucinate data. I know many bad copywriters just rewrite content, generic stuff. And second thing, after testing Gemini 3 that was released like a few weeks ago, I was surprised. I was really surprised about the quality of this content, because I ranked ChatGPT first, second was Claude, Grok, Perplexity, and only then Gemini. And I was surprised how Google can lose this, this competition. But Gemini 3 changed everything. It's a really great tool. It can write much better than me. You know, of course, it's still important to drive this tool. I mean, like, to write the right prompts, to edit results. It takes time, but it's not even the same with the previous versions that I had. And today, this tool can create really great content. What do you think about the future of AI content creation?
You know, I'm 50-50, to be honest. I see it everywhere on LinkedIn now. And a lot of it's super obvious. We're talking the emoji part because, you know, ChatGPT loves putting the emojis in there. And whenever I see somebody just copy and paste like a whole thing, and it's like aspirational with emojis, and it's just written so perfectly, I kind of roll my eyes. I glaze over it because I know it's not real. Like maybe there's reality in like the nuggets they dropped in the prompt to get the story, but I glaze over it. Like, I need something to be real now, like what that I'm reading. It's great for ideas. It's great to like brainstorm, but I don't know about you, but when I like, do you read all the AI stuff that you see, or are you just kind of glazing over it?
I play a lot with that. So basically I start with the first prompt. I never use any templates. I just write prompts that I have in my mind, nothing special, but I never satisfied with the first result because, I mean, like the main goal of Google was for many years. I don't know about now, but for many years that was people should find the relevant link as soon as possible and leave Google. So basically social media has the goal to retain as long as possible, but Google had the goal just to give the relevant link and the best result that Google showed like 70 seconds. So people just search for keyword, plus 60% found the relevant link from the first attempt and were satisfied. So, but it's not the same with ChatGPT or Gemini or any other places. People play with these tools. I ask after first question, I ask second, third. I can ask plus 20 questions. I can lead the chat in the right direction. I can search for my data to put to the chat. I can close the chat and start new chat if I'm not satisfied. And it's just playing. I play with this tool in order to get results. That is why I think people who can think that ChatGPT can solve their problems, it never can solve any problems, because you need to have writing background and you need to know specific niche. I can't create any great content about finance. I can't create great content about weight loss, about health, because I'm not an expert on that. And even I cooperated with a few accounting specialists. Plus 20 years of experience, great experience. They worked with Fortune 500 companies. Everything looks great, but they didn't have experience with writing. When they asked ChatGPT to generate, they just generate some useless stuff because they don't have experience to write. It's not about bringing value. It's more about if it's interesting to read, any content should be non-boring. If it's non-boring, then you can win attention in the beginning, retain until the end. So, I mean, like for me, it's just playing. If you play a lot, you can get results. It's my point of view.
You know what? What I'm disappointed with Grok as Grok image generation. I don't know if you've had success with it. So I've been playing around with Grok image generation, and I just cannot seem to like get what's in my head designed by Grok. Have you played around with that at all?
I played with Grok, but not with image generation. So yeah, I played with Grok. I usually play with old tools for a while, but I mean, like ChatGPT was my foundation for a long time. I tried other tools, but Grok provides some great results for specific requests, because I like how this tool can help to lead in the right direction. I like these suggestions, but for me, ChatGPT was the best. For now, Gemini 3.
You know what I like about Grok, though, is I don't know if you're an X user. I personally like it for like breaking news or sports or entertainment. Is like, I can ask Grok if like a story or this is real or not, because sometimes I just don't know. I don't have a great example at the moment, but I've used Grok to verify if that information is true or not.
Interesting.
So it's cool. It actually helps kind of moderate the content, because people can really see if something is true or not.
Yeah, I usually use similar prompt in any request. I usually ask, please don't fake data. My loving prompt, don't fake data, please use deep research, spend more time, find real data. Don't fake, don't hallucinate, and don't try to satisfy me, because it's the same problem. For example, you know, I can share a story from my brother. So basically, when he argues with his wife is always goes to ChatGPT and ask who is right. ChatGPT can say she is right all the time. Can you imagine that? And nope. What if all, you know, it depends how you can ask this question. So you can ask the question, and what ChatGPT wants to satisfy you, it means ChatGPT can fake this data in order to satisfy you. Because if you don't like the reply, what you can do? You can leave this tool. You will never use again. So that is why I usually ask ChatGPT to be honest and forget that I'm asking about this question. Be real, be an expert, and don't try to satisfy me. Just bring the best answer. Don't hallucinate. So it's my loving prompt to get good results.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, have you seen it like eliminate jobs in your company or anything? Or is it just like a really great tool that you can help your current staff?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we eliminated some jobs, to be honest. We eliminated mostly we stopped cooperation with some copywriters. We stopped cooperation with some editors because, yeah, to be honest, these tools work better. But for me, I think like... everyone should learn today about AI. For example, I have good designers in my team. I can use a bunch of design tools we have today, but I still cooperate with these designers, because these designers use these tools as well, and they can generate better results than me. They can generate better and can edit results. That is why I think today, anyone, I mean, like, even according to data, 71% of American companies prefer to have employees who can use AI with less skills. So basically, if someone have better skills but don't use AI, they can lose this competition to people who use AI but have less skills. And I think everyone should do it. I mean, like, it's only one way to go.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. RJ, I want to ask about your post on LinkedIn. You know, I opened your LinkedIn account and I see myth. I like myths, you know, so let's break this myth. You need to be everywhere. Google Ads, Meta Ads, LinkedIn Ads, every platform under the sun. Reality, spreading yourself thin rarely wins. Can you explain more about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many marketing channels out there, and you could be everywhere if you wanted to. But first of all, are you going to do anything great if you're trying to touch every different channel in every different place? You know, typically when I work with clients is like, we want to be really great on definitely one channel. We want to get that firing on all cylinders. We want to have that working. And then if that channel is working great, the Google Ads, Meta Ads, then we might test a secondary channel with a smaller budget to see if we can get, you know, similar results from that channel. So instead of going right out the gate, hey, we got to be everywhere. We got to be on Google, Meta, LinkedIn. Why don't you start with the place that strategically makes the most sense. Start incrementally, start smaller, have your offer for that specific channel for a specific audience, and incrementally test that instead of like trying to be everywhere for everyone.
I think it's the same with any marketing. It's everywhere, especially in organic reach, especially because what I can see when someone can share a case study, you know, I got great results on Reddit and everyone came to Reddit to just, people on Reddit spend years to craft skills. They chat, communicate, build connections. They know how to write for this social media. They know how to win attention there. And when someone without skills are going to this direction, they lose attention on channels that work for them. So basically, you can lose attention on channels that were great and can't win on a new channel fast. It's impossible. You need to focus. I know some people are great with just one thing called email outreach. Nothing else. They can send millions of emails and get great results. When I asked about their secrets, they told, no, it's not secrets. I mean, like, it's more about experience. And some people can write short emails, but I know some experts who can write long emails. Nobody reads long emails, but they write long emails that people read. So it's the same skill. You need to craft the skill. I mean, like, you need to win the attention in the beginning, retain until the end, and it works. So someone is good with LinkedIn, just LinkedIn, nothing else. I know people who is good just to post on LinkedIn, just photo, nothing else, photo and text. They don't use video, they don't use live stream, they don't use many other things. Just posting photo with some explanations, and it works great for them because they focus to become the best in one specific channel. I couldn't agree more with that.
You know, Alex Hormozi, I believe, says like, hey, until you reach about $1 million in sales in one channel, don't even bother about trying to be doing other things. Yeah. You can hit $1 million in sales in any channel with like dedicated and focused effort. And so I kind of like keep that in the back of my mind when I'm thinking about recommendations for clients or, you know, how we want to proceed.
Yeah. RJ, let's help youngsters. You know, I never thought that I have young people in my audience because I didn't create content for them, but they follow me. And I still get questions how to join this niche, especially today when we have AI. Many can see this struggle because AI can take jobs, and AI takes jobs. AI took some jobs in my company, and we analyzed big corporations, Google, Microsoft, IBM, Amazon, laid off a lot of people, 65,000 people. Microsoft fired 9,000 people, IBM 8,000, a lot of people. And it's really, really tough to join these companies. You need to become very smart. You can't join this company if you're stupid. You know, you need to have great mind. You need to understand how it works. And these people can lose jobs because of AI. So because these people can provide tasks that AI can do and replace them. So I think today many companies are looking for AI agents because, I mean, like, for many years, probably decade ago, companies hired interns who can do simple tasks. These people can acquire first experience. These companies can get some cheap jobs, you know. That was common. But today, what I can see, many companies are looking for AI agents who can replace them, you know, because they work like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, can provide a lot of tasks. So it's like automation. What can you suggest for youngsters who want to join marketing today? Where to pay attention and how to start working in marketing when nobody wants to hire you?
That's a great question. Become an expert, right? So even if you don't really know where to start, jump into the YouTube and start learning. The AI agents, though. So that's so interesting because I'm a big high-level user. I don't know if you use it personally, but they have the AI sales enablement. So I can have an outbound sales agent call my leads if I want to. I personally have an AI sales agent taking my phone calls. So if you call my business phone number, you're going to be answered by my AI receptionist. And she's trained on HBT Digital's marketing materials, and her goal is to schedule a discovery call. So you can have different goals for these people. You really have to understand and talk to business owners about like, how can you make their life easier? So if you're a brand new marketer or you're out of a job, think, how can my local business get better? How can I serve them? How can I make their lives easier? And you might have to ask them, right? When you go and buy that pizza, say, hey, you know, how come I haven't heard from you guys? I'm not on your email list. Or why aren't you texting me to buy a pizza at 10 o'clock at night when I'm hungry? You know, these are different services that you can start offering, you know, local businesses. Like I know one guy in Louisiana, his whole entire focus for his business is AI review responses. So if there's a trigger that happens in the company, like somebody makes a payment or a trigger happens, he can send out automated AI review requests or even use an AI chatbot to respond to the review. And it's just, how do we make people's lives easier? And so you just got to talk to people. You got to ask questions.
Yeah, nice, nice. Arjay, can you tell about creativity today? I mean, like marketers should become creative. If you don't have creative message, you can't win customers' attention. But it's really tough to become creative, especially we have a bunch of marketing campaigns, a bunch of marketing ads. Can you tell your methods how to create something special?
Yeah. So I use Canva personally. So I am not a designer, but I can sort through templates all day, every day. And you have to test different things. What you like, other people may not like. So you always have to test. I hear on Meta, test at minimum 5 pieces of creative, 5 to 10 videos and images. And do something like wildly different than what you might like and test it, right? Because you don't know what people are going to respond to. But more so, it's got to be about the offer. What I've been thinking about a lot lately, it's not the creative design. It's what am I offering people? How do I get people to stop on Facebook? And it's not going to be a graphic. I think it's going to be that offer. It's that 25% off or something free. Or if I see free consultation again, I might just like shoot myself. Everyone has a free consultation. If you ask somebody, you'll get a free consultation. But what can we give people of value? You have to give value. They'll skip right by you. So I think more offer than creative.
Yeah, nice, nice. You know, I asked you about creativity and you told me about template on Canva.
I'm not a creative agency. I'll be the first. I'm like a performance marketer. We're going to get you results, but I'm not like the creative guys.
got it. Okay, I have my final question. I think like very important question. You mentioned that today, if someone can call you, AI agent can reply to this call. Probably in the future, AI avatar will replace you on this podcast when you will speak like 10 times or 20 times, I don't know. And I will tell you, you know, my AI avatar will represent me as well. So, and 2 AI avatars can create content. But it's interesting about that because today 46% of people follow at least one AI avatar in social media. 46% of people. Personally, I enjoy some historical videos made by AI. My brother can listen to podcasts AI generated because it's valuable. Nobody cares, human or not humans. If it's value, if it brings value, faceless video, why not? I can watch and listen to that. And for one project, I was really surprised about this project because that was trading niche. And we cooperated for a long time with an expert who can post regularly on NASDAQ, many other big websites, Investopedia. And what was big surprise when we decided to film content with AI. So basically, he filmed content on YouTube over the year, filmed plus 100 videos, great videos. We got some organic reach, but we decided to do the same with AI, faceless videos. And my surprise was that AI-generated content can get retention higher, plus 30 seconds. So basically, we compared 2 videos, around 3-4 minutes, and AI-generated content can win attention plus 30 seconds. Second, it brings around 2 times more organic reach. No, much higher organic reach. So I think like in the the future, we have a lot of AI-generated content, AI avatars, and probably, I don't know, RJ AI avatar will speak on this podcast when I will invite you 20 times. So your prediction about the future.
Oh my God, I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm just trying to, personally for my business, I'm trying to stack clients because who knows what that 3 to 5 years looks like. But here's the thing, all businesses are going to need marketing, they're going to need advertising. And what do we know for a fact? They cannot do it themselves because there's just too much to do. So I think there's always going to be a place for you and for what I do. It's just about working with people. I mean, the AI stuff is great, right? It saves time, energy, and effort, but you're still going to want to work with a person to help kick off any idea or anything that you want to accomplish.
Yeah, of course, of course. I think like many people don't understand one simple thing. Any AI-generated content driven by humans, it doesn't matter. You consume AI-generated content or human-created content, all this content were driven by humans, you know. So you can listen a podcast with AI, or you can watch video AI created, but humans decided to create these videos by using AI technologies. So I mean, like, marketers can drive all these things. I mean, like, if you don't have experience with creating content, you can't generate great content by using these tools. I can open many AI video editors, but I can't. I have a team of video designers who can. I have designers who can create great design that I like. I can spend time to learn. Okay, I can learn about AI tools. I can learn about that, but I will waste my time on things that matter for me. So everyone should focus, because we are going to the direction when focusing is very important, as we discussed on this podcast. You know, when you focus on specific channel like Google Ads or Facebook Ads, and then you can extend to other channels. And honestly, I'm terrible with forecast as well. I remember when 10 years ago, one of my friends came to me and asked, do you want to buy 1,000 Bitcoins? You know, just take 1,000 Bitcoins. I replied, no, I don't know what is it. He replied, it's the future money. It's the future money. You need to take it. I replied, no. He told, okay, take just 100 Bitcoins. And I denied. I told, no. I don't know what is it. I don't need your Bitcoins. What is it? The crypto. So, yeah, my forecast was terrible.
Hey, we've all been there.
Yeah, but anyway, I think like when you have struggle in your life, it can make you more active, you know. So when all problems are solved, you know what kind of life you have. So, I mean, like, you can have luxury, but you can't enjoy for a long time, you know. You need to have struggle. RJ, thanks a lot for taking part in my podcast. I hope next time you will speak without AI avatar. We'll see, but I don't know. Yeah. Technologies are growing fast. But thanks a lot. Tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
Hey, Anatoly, you're the man. Thanks again. HBTDigital.com, and on the socials, it's just at HBTDigitalConsultant.
Okay, guys, you can find the link in the description below. I also recommend to follow RJ on LinkedIn, because I follow. It's great value. He's quite active on that, so I can see personal photos and valuable insights. And of course, open the website if you can. If you need some services from RJ, please let him know that he phoned him on this podcast. Okay, guys, love you. See you.